For an indie band, it seems almost impossible to achieve massive commercial success without losing credibility. But the band LCD Sound System may have figured out the secret. The New York band, mostly through the efforts of their frontman James Murphy, pound this irresistible blend that's not quite electronic, not quite punk rock, and not quite dance. Whatever it is, though, it makes you want to dance. The lyrics, poignant, ironic, revealing, all add to the appeal. And it was definitely a marketable appeal. 2 years ago, their third album debuted in the Billboard Top 10. Then again, other indie bands have done that. Here's the thing that makes them different from just about anyone else at the top of their game. They quit. Three albums in, sold out shows, overwhelming critical acclaim, that is when James Murphy, the frontman, pulled the plug on it all. The decision was complicated, and Murphy acknowledges as much in a new documentary called Shut Up and Play the Hits. The film follows LCD Sound System on their final concert, a nearly four-hour sold-out affair at Madison Square Garden. The film also tracks James Murphy offstage, winding down, reflecting in those final days for the band. The directors Will Lovelace and Dylan Southern join me now to talk more. Guys, welcome.
Hello.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I was struck by how much fun they seem to be having on stage. I mean, James Murphy and the other members of the band, I mean, they're interacting, they're smiling at one another. I mean, is that something that was sort of notable with this group?
Yeah, I mean, I think actually one of the reasons why we were interested in them as a subject for this film was that they were a really good bunch of friends who hadn't fallen out. On stage, you certainly got the impression that they were sort of definitely enjoying the last time they'd ever played together and playing the sort of biggest show that they'd ever played as well.
It was weird. You could see them kind of counting off the songs, you know, as it went from that kind of sense of elation at the start of the show. But there's also that kind of sadness that you could see that each time they played another song, it was that's the last time we're going to play that one, you know, live or ever, you know. So it was kind of bittersweet, I think, the concert.
What did it involve in making this film, the portion of it in Madison Square Garden? I mean, I was amazed at the close-ups you were getting. I mean, how many cameras are we talking about? What kind of challenge was it to have cameras in the right places?
So I think we had 13 cameras altogether. And we shot in a very old school way, because normally when a crew rock up to a show like that, they bring like a big outside broadcast van and they'll be able to monitor what every camera's shooting. And we're huge fans of kind of like those old concert movies. You get the feeling that it feels much more authentic because it's just a guy and a camera kind of shooting their experience of the show.
Oh, that's interesting. So you guys weren't like in the ears of the camera people, telling them, you know, move the camera over there. You were just letting them kind of watch the show in their own way and film it in their own way.
Yeah, I mean, we did have earpieces, but it was so loud that they were rendered pointless.
I can imagine.
Yeah, that was one of our less successful ideas.
It was really important, the feeling of it, you know. If it got a little loose and fell apart at times, that was kind of all the better to us, because it would feel like being at the show.
Obviously, a big portion of the film is the concert footage and really capturing that big night at the Garden. But then a lot of the film also is this interview that James Murphy, the frontman, did with the music writer and cultural critic Chuck Klosterman. And the moment that really struck me is when the interviewer asked him what the band's biggest failure was. And Murphy finally admits that his biggest failure might be quitting, and he worries whether his quitting is motivated by, you know, by a sense of fear. And I wanted to listen to a little bit of his voice.
I want to look back and be very, very proud of everything that we did. And I feel like right now I'm with a couple of snafus here and there, and like I'm very, very like, I like the way we've handled ourselves. I'm proud.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But this quitting stuff, yeah. Even though I'm like, it's the right thing. I wonder if me saying, like, I don't want to be a famous person. I don't want to be a famous person because I like riding the subway. I like eating food. I like being a normal person. I like it. I'm 41. I don't think I could adjust to the kind of weird dichotomy. But is that a good enough reason if you believe in your band? and you claim to like music and you claim to like making music for people, is that a good enough reason to quit?
Fascinating. I mean, I guess there are a few things to ask. I mean, do you guys think that he quit out of fear, and is that a good enough reason for a successful band to quit?
I wouldn't say it was purely fear of failure, but I think that is, you know, one of the things that James said was, well, what next for the band if it continued? Would it be, because they were on that cusp of like becoming even bigger, would it be making a much more kind of populist album, or would it be making something willfully obscure to kind of diminish that audience? You know, I think James felt that LCD was a finite project and 10 years of good times, and I think for him it was just, right, that's that project finished now. But I think there's all those doubts and kind of things still resonate after the fact. You know, even speaking to him now, there's that sense of like, was it the right thing to do?
Is this something we should encourage in our entertainers? I mean, I was a Def Leppard fan, and they're still out touring years later, and I love the fact that I could still go see them. But, you know, all the fans of LCD Sound System are now going to not have that chance. I mean, but is this in a way good for music, what James Murphy decided to do, or not?
That's a really interesting question, because there are bands that you just wish had stopped and would, you know,
There's a lot of those.
Yeah. But then that's their choice, isn't it? It's kind of, there is that thing of like, there's not many people who know, right, well, you know, as a body of work, that's my legacy, or that's the thing I've made. I imagine it's very hard for creative people to spot that point.
And now I'm losing my edge. The kids are coming up from behind.
One of the songs that they play, Losing My Edge, I mean, the lyrics about all the new kids are coming in, they know everything about music and are running someone out of town.
I heard you have a compilation of every good song ever done by anybody.
Does that capture what James was feeling in a way?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could say that song defines LCD, defines James, you know, defines the whole thing, really. People interact with, like, music and music history in a much different way now. You can just go into Wikipedia and find everything out about, you know, or you can download every song by a band, and there's less need to have that kind of acquired knowledge, you know, because everything's just at people's fingertips. And I think that idea that the world is changing, and perhaps the way you understood it previously felt more right to you, I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to, I guess.
Dylan Southern and Will Lovelace, they are the co-directors of the new documentary Shut Up and Play the Hits. The film follows the band LCD Sound System in its final days, and the film premieres on July 18th.
It's our last song.
Guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down.
And you can watch a clip from the film Shut Up and Play the Hits at nprmusic.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
New York is safer, but you're wasting my time.